Acts and chapter 16, starting with the verse number 1. The chapter 15 was quite eventful. I would think that Satan has prepared an attack by religion. He tried so many things before. He tried hypocrisy through Ananias and Sapphira. That didn't work. He tried persecution before and after that. That did not achieve Satan's purpose. And now he's trying again religion against the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of the way of the gospel, the way of religion. I could say thankfully Barnabas and Paul were quite united in their battle against the so-called circumcision. And the short epistle from the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem was quite an encouragement, I would think, not only to the believers from among the Gentiles, but also for Barnabas and Paul. Then a great disappointment, I imagine, came through that argument whether to take John Mark with them on the second journey or not. And Barnabas was quite determined in that and did not take into consideration Paul's arguments. And Paul was not compromising his belief that the preachers and the witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ's gospel should be firm and not wavering and not leaving their work unfinished and so on, as John Mark did, returning back from unfinished gospel journey and so on. And so Barnabas took John Mark and went to Crete, and now Paul is praying and probably fasting and looking around for another witness that would replace John Mark. It didn't take long time to find one. Paul has chosen Silas, one of the two men that were sent by the apostles from Jerusalem to Antioch to take a testimony to confirm the epistle that was given, I think, to Barnabas and Paul. In the last couple of verses, chapter 15, we read that Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. And here they are in the beginning of chapter 16. They came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there. It's interesting to read that in the way it has been translated in this so-called King James Version. Behold, a certain disciple was there. There were many disciples, but this one was named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed. His father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. So the reason we read here, behold, there was a disciple, this was a younger man and an outstanding disciple, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He already had a very good report by the believers around him. And him would Paul have to go forth with him. However, there is a problem, there is a difficulty. The father of Timotheus is a Greek, and Timotheus grew up as an uncircumcised man after his father, even though his mother was a Jewish woman. In the verse number 3, we read that Paul decided that Timothy would be a good company, a good companion, good helper. And he took him and circumcised him. I don't think that Paul himself was skillful in doing circumcision. Maybe he was, maybe not. But why would Paul circumcise Timothy? We read here, because of the Jews which were in those regions, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. I would say that all the disciples knew that the father of Timothy was a Greek, and probably some of the Jews that were not Christians, not converted yet. But I think that believing Jews, and especially those unbelieving Jews, had plenty of acquaintances from among the Jewish people, and they talked about this and that, perhaps many things. And so the fact that Timothy was uncircumcised was not a secret, and it was a very meaningful, important thing for the Jews. And Paul wanted to have Timothy circumcised, and apparently Timothy had no objections for one reason. They wanted to have an open door to the hearts and minds of the Jews to whom they wanted to reach out, the unbelieving Jews, or should I say Gentile Jews, that did not believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they had some other Jews or half Jews preaching to them, witnessing to them, reaching out to them, if these were circumcised, they were much more our people to the rest of the Jews. And if they were not circumcised, they were those uncircumcised Gentiles. So we could think that this circumcising of Timothy was a sacrifice on behalf of better testimony, easier testimony, or reducing the resentment and rejection of the Jews against Paul and Silas and Timothy being the servants and the witnesses of the gospel. And now they went through the cities, and they, going along, delivered to the Christians from among the Gentiles the decrees for to keep, those decrees that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. So these churches were the groups of converted Gentiles, Christian believers, and now they were confirmed and established in the faith by the decrees of the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Well, that's something. Why would they be forbidden to preach the word in Asia? We could think one thing or another. We read here that it was the Holy Ghost who decided that they are not going to preach the gospel in Asia. I remember way back in the gospel books that the Lord said to the 12 disciples not to go on the way of Gentiles, and in the city of Samaritans not to enter, but to preach the gospel, to proclaim the kingdom of God being nigh at hand, to the seed of Abraham. And I believe that the main reason for that was that these 12 disciples were way too much Jews and not sufficiently the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to preach to anyone else but to the Jews. And now I wonder if Paul and Silas and Timothy might have not been equipped prepared to preach the gospel in Asia. Hopefully, the Lord has reserved that for some other Christians, some other disciples that will do it at the time that the Lord has appointed. In the verse number 7, I read, after they, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, maybe some other ones were with them, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. More restrictions or more revelation that they are not going to preach in every place where they thought they should. And they, passing by Mysia, came to Troas. And then, finally, after searching, after praying, after seeking the Lord's guidance, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, or Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. Can we guess what were they doing these certain days in Philippi? I would think fasting and praying and seeking the Lord's guidance and asking the Lord to show them where and how and with what message, of course, which part of the gospel message to start reaching out to the people at Philippi. And here comes probably the first Sabbath, but in any case, the Sabbath day, they went out of the city by a river, riverside, and there was a place designated for prayer, for gathering, and they sat down. Apparently there were some benches, some seats, or some arrangements. Perhaps they sat down on the grass, and they spake unto the women which resorted thither. I don't know how many women there were gathered, but in any case I see three men witnessing to the women. Probably the main preacher was Paul again. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, of course, Hebrew God, the true God, the real God, was listening, and her heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She was listening, and Paul the Apostle presented the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this open heart of this woman Lydia, that worshipped God before, knowing probably only the Old Testament scriptures, and believing the Lord God as most of the Jews or Hebrews did believe. But she was a true worshipper, sincere believer in the Word of God, in the name of God, Jehovah. And now she is listening, and the Lord opened her heart, and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is just descending upon her heart and mind as the dew of heaven. And as Paul is preaching, and he probably came again to the same part that he was preaching about so many times, that in Jesus Christ there is forgiveness of sin, and the liberty that the law was never able to give to the worshippers. And Lydia was ready, not only herself, but all of her household. Now we know not how many people were there. We don't even know how old was Lydia. But the whole household believed the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would think these three servants of the gospel, Paul the apostle, Silas the prophet, preacher, and Timothy the witness, were thrilled, and their souls were just praising God with all of their might. Not only the three, but also the household of Lydia was happy, joyful, cheerful as never before. But that was not all. All the disciples that heard about this wonderful testimony were happy and thankful to the Lord. But not only that, all the angels in heaven were praising the Lord because another family became part of the family of Christ Jesus, the Almighty King Emmanuel. In the verse number 15 we read, "And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us." Oh, what is this us? If we go back to the introduction of this book, the book of Acts, we'll find that the evangelist Luke is writing this book, and so far he had been writing based on the testimony of the others, that some of them were first-hand witnesses and some of them were informed by the first-hand witnesses and so on. But from the beginning of chapter 16, the writer of the book of Acts is with the group. So now we can know for sure it's not only Paul, Silas, and Timothy, but also the evangelist Luke, a faithful witness, an excellent writer, a man that knows how to transfer the testimony of the faithful ones into a trustworthy record called the Book of the Acts of the Holy Apostles. So back again to the verse number 15. "When she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Ah, such a witness. She's a widow. And she has a household. And she's a businesswoman. And the businesswomen that have household are actually working 7/24. There is no day of rest. Yet this woman, on the seventh day, on the Sabbath day, closed her business, left everything, and probably with her household came to the place of prayer. How many times before she was there praying together with her household and other ladies that were gathered there? I don't know. And what were they praying for? I don't know. But it was very familiar fact that all the faithful Jews, Levites, and all the faithful Israelites were constantly praying that the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, would send the promised Messiah to deliver them from this slavery to the Romans. And now, that deliverance hath come to the household of Lydia, and they have been delivered, not from the slavery, not from the occupation of the Roman Empire, but from a much more dangerous and destructive slavery, slavery to the ignorance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, slavery to the uncertainty of their spiritual future, and now they are transferred into the realm of light and truth, the knowledge of the Son of God, their Savior and ours. How strongly she urged, she actually demanded that Paul the Apostle and his company live in her house, to take lodging there, to receive food there, and to continue proclaiming the gospel in that area and around that area. Well, Lydia's household became at that time the headquarters of the Apostle Paul for that region. She surely was sincerely and truly and wholly converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she wanted to be fruitful in that gospel. Well, that's a wonderful conversion by the Spirit of the Lord in the heart of this woman and in her household. Blessed be the name of the Lord.